Monday the 10th of May, Kof Vov Ior, Rabbi Herschel Hager, bankruptcy. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored Lila Nishmas for a Ephraim official, then Rav Yoel Aryeh Gick.
Start of the Master, Chusas once came to the Sassembus of Geir, and he told him he has a problem, his business is finished. He's got one option, he has to go bankrupt. So the Sassembus said to him, so what do you want me to do to you? I should teach you how to go bankrupt at Pikavunas Arizal. We're going to learn the hilchos of bankruptcy, no tricks, but what the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch Paskin, what to do if someone doesn't have enough money to pay up all his balachoyos. His Mishnah in Ksuvos, Daf Tzadik Gimel Amud Aleph, someone married three wives, and a mess, and then he dies. Each wife has a different ksuba. One has a mona, one has masayim, and one has shulash mes. He only leaves over a mona to pay off his three wives. The same halacha would apply to bala choyves. This person only leaves one mona and he has different choyves to pay off. So the Mishnah says, if all the bala choyves each were a mona, let's call it £100, make it simple. There's three people only £100. He leaves £100, so he split up a third to each. It's very simple. What happens if he leaves over £200? And he had three balachoyves, one owed 100, one owed 200, one owed 300. How do you split up £200 to three people? So according to the Mishnah, the first person who's owed £100, the smallest balachov, his claim is for £100 only. He has no claim for more. He puts in a claim for £100. We have now £200 to divide between three people, but this first person's claim is only for £100. So he puts down a claim for £100. So we take this first £100 and we say, how many people are claiming this £100? We have three people claiming they are owed at least £100. We ignore the second £100. We just take the first £100, which that's what the first person put a claim in for, and the second and the third. They're each claiming at least £100, but the first person is claiming not more than £100. So the first £100 we take and we split up into three, because there are three people claiming this £100. What ends up happening? The first person who's owed £100 gets £33. Gets a third of her claim, or his claim, which he put down for. We're left now with £166. This £166 is split up now into the two other balachoyves, because each of the two other balachoyves, one is claiming £200 and one is claiming £300. So we haven't paid out the £200 yet. So whatever's left over is now divided into two people. So what happens is the first person gets a third of his claim. Three balachoyves, three people fighting about the first £100. They all claim £100. He split that into three. The rest, the second £100, the two people claiming. So two people now split up the second £100. What would happen is there'll be £300 left. So the first person's only claiming £100. She'd get a third of that £100. The second person's only claiming £200. Her claim is for £200. Even though there's now £300 to divide between three people, so she should get a third of, technically she should get £100. No. She's only putting in a claim for £200. And the two people fighting over this £200. So she has to split accordingly. That's according to the Mishnah. The Gemara says, Tani Azimish is Reb Nusan. This is Reb Nusan's Psach Halacha. But Rabbi says, no, it doesn't work that way. That's not the way you split up money when balachoyves argue. You split up b'shomer equally. What does equally mean? That's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos brings Rabbi Nachman, how you explain cholkus b'shomer. According to Rashi, it's very simple. Cholkus b'shomer means literally, you have £200. You have three people claiming £200. You split it up equally. Everyone gets 66. If you have £300, you have three people claiming £300. Even the one of the chav was only £100, and one of the choyves was £200, and the third is £300. It makes a difference. Cholkus v'shuva. You take whatever's left over. This person only left £300. You have three people claiming money. Split it evenly. Divide it equally. Even what's going to happen is one person is going to be paid off completely. The person's only owed £100. He's getting his full chav. The person who's owed much more is only getting a third of what he he's owed. Makes a difference. Cholkos v'shavos. This is what we have. This is what we split evenly to all the Baal Chayvos. Obviously, once a person's been paid off, he doesn't get more than what he was owed. But if there's £300 left over, and we have one Baal Chayvos of 100, one Baal Chayvos of 200, one Baal Chayvos of 300, you split it equally. That's the fair way of being choylek, the nechusim, according to the Gemara. And that's how Rashi explains the Gemara Cholkos v'shavos. Very simple, equal chalukim to whoever comes, and whatever the claim is, you get an equal share of whatever's left over. There's nothing, you can't do anything, there's nothing more to give out. So you give out equally equal portions to all the balachoyevs. Rabbi Hananel argues, he says, that's not Yosha. Someone who's lost more should only get a third. Someone who was owed £300 only getting a third. And someone who's owed 100 is getting his whole money back. It's not fair. So he says Cholkos b'shuvah doesn't actually mean literally you split up equal portions to all the balachoyves. Cholkos b'shuvah means you work out percentage how much each person's owed. So if we have someone's owed 100, one is owed 200, one is owed 300, so we have six mona to be divided, six claims, six mona. So the first person who's owed a mona is claiming a sixth of whatever's left over. He's claiming 100, but he's claiming his half. But we only have 300 to pay off. We have X amount. So we have to split up percentage-wise to each balachov. So the first balachov put in £100, he gave £100. He'll get a sixth of whatever's left. The person who owed 200 mona will get two parts. And the other person who had 300 mona will get the rest. That's according to Rech Nam, you work it out percentage-wise. Now, the Shulchan Aruch actually paskens a simple way, as Rashi says, Cholkos b'shuvah. We have whatever's left over, we have the balachovish, split up equal parts without any calculations. And the Rif, all the paskim, most of the paskim, pasken this way, and the Rif goes so far to say, this is such a clear halucha, as if it's halucha l'moshe m'sinai. This is what we have over, this is what's left, we split up in equal parts. And Pleshua's Malzbeh, just to understand why most are showing paskim this way, because when a person borrows money, whatever he has is meshubad to the chol. Not only whatever he borrowed. A person borrowed £100, his whole house, all his nechusim, whatever he has, is now meshubad to this chol he made. Not only the amount of 100, much more than that. That's in our Torah. For example, if someone has many nechusim, the Vachov can come and claim Minat Torah, even from nechusim Meshubudah. Even what is Meshubudah, makes a difference to him. The Rabbonon, they limited it only to Bnei Chayre. If someone sold something, you can't take, the Vachov can't go and take from Meshubudim, only take from Bnei Chayre. But Minat Torah, if you borrowed money, you owe everything you have to pay that Chav back. So all your nechusim are now Meshubud to this £100. So much more than what you borrowed, you don't owe more, but you're meshubad, everything you have is meshubad to your chov. And therefore, if someone is owed £100, and the three people fighting over this £100, over the £300, it makes a difference to him. I have a claim to whatever this person left over. Because all his nechusim are meshubad to my chov. It's true, all his nechusim are meshubad to everyone else's chovs. And therefore, we have to split up equally. It's not as if we have £300 left, and we have to work out the shibudim, how much of this £300 was meshubah to each person. It's not true. Everything is meshubah to a chav. Whatever person owns is meshubah to a chav. And therefore, it makes a difference if I'm owed more or less. Since I haven't been paid up my chav yet, whatever is left over is meshubah to my chav. And therefore, we split up equally. That's the Pneshev's Mazbeh. And his Mem is even more than that. When a person borrows money, he has to pay it back. If he buys the chosim after he borrowed money, these nechosim he buys later also on Meshubah to the Chav, even though they weren't around when he borrowed the money. Why? Because in our Torah, a person is Meshubah to the Chav. It's not only the nechosim Meshubah to the Chav. Whatever a person borrows, he himself is liable to pay back to the Baal Chav. And therefore, we can't say the Shibud works out the Fi Erech HaMomon. We have 300, we have to work out how much of this Chav Meshubah. It's not true. This person who has no longer money, who is no longer alive, he himself was meshubah to pay off the whole chav. And if he was meshubah to pay off the whole chav, as long as I haven't got my money back in full, I have a shibud. And therefore, we have 300 pounds, or we have many balachoyves with different amounts, makes a difference. We're all in the same boat. We all have the same shibud for this money. We all have the shibud that is to us from this money. We can't work out this one has a sixth of the shibud, this one has 2% of the shibud, this one 20% of the shibud. No. All this money is meshubah to every balchov. And therefore, if all this money, or this person, whatever you had, is meshubah to the balchov, we have to split it up equally. We can't work out percentage. That's what the Pnei Yeshiva explains, the shittas of most of the Shoinim, and what the Shulchan Aruch paskens, that we have chov, that's whatever's left over, we split up in equal parts until the person has been paid off, then he goes away, and then we carry on splitting up till as much as we can do, an equal part. What we're saying now is when all the chovos happened at the same time, on the same day. If, for example, there was a previous chov, the first bal chov obviously comes first. He was owed money on a previous date, so he's the first person to be able to claim back the full money. Once he's paid up in full, we go to the next bal chov. But it's first come, first served. The shibud starts on the day he made the chov. He borrowed the money. Person comes a day later. He's only second in the queue. So until the first person is paid off fully, the second person hasn't got any claim whatsoever. So when the Mishnah talks about three ksubas, Rashi explains that these ksubas are all written on the same day, or three chovas written the same day. Otherwise, if they're written at different times, it's first come, first served. Or, Shulchan Aruch says, if you come to claim from a taltanim, the halacha of first come, first served is only when you come take from karka. If you take from a taltanim, then there's no difference when the chov was done. They all had the same claim, and that's when the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah talk about how to split up equally or percentage-wise. Or, as we said before, if he bought nechusim after his chav, so b'shas nechav there wasn't a shibbet to this nechusim, so these nechusim again were split up equally, there's no first come, first serve, because b'shas he bought this house, the chav was already there to all the balachoybis. Now, b'emes neshechnorach paskins one way, we explained very simple, whatever's left over, you split up in equal portions without any calculations. That's Medina Shulchan Aruch. Lamasa, the minig is not that way. The minig is the way Rabbi Nachman paskens to work out percentage-wise. How much? There's so much left over. These are the balachovis. We work out percentage. Everyone should be happy, or as happy as they can be, with whatever's left over, and make a fair share of whatever's left over. That's the minig for many hundreds of years. Why that minig is, either because when people deal with goyim, that's the way, you know, the machusa paskens, the bankruptcy, that you split up percentage-wise. And therefore, the sochrim, even the deal between Eden, they agree, b'shas, the mekachamemka, b'shas, the halvos, that if anything goes wrong, that's the way they'll be paid back. So if that's the heskim of the sochrim, to be paid back, apishitas rabbi nechananu, the Masa, that's the minig, not kafisha chanoroch to pass to split up in equal parts, but the minig is that we pass like Rebbeinu Chananel and Tosfos, that we split it up percentage-wise. Ad kan the psach halucha of the Shachnoroch and the minig appear Rebbeinu Chananel. I'm just, the Mishnah, the Gemara, refer to bankruptcy as Pshitas Regel. What's the loss of Pshitas Regel? So the Mishnah says someone who promised an army for his son-in-law, and before the chasna pushat lo yisaregel, he doesn't have enough money to pay up. The Mishnah uses the lotion of pushat lo yisaregel. The Batnur gives two explanations what pushat lo yisaregel means. Either it's a lotion bezoyin, he puts out his foot, says take the dirt in the bottom of my foot. It's a lotion making fun, lotion bezoyin. Or he says, hang me up by my feet, nothing I can do, that's pushat lo yisaregel. The Rambam gives a simple pshat. The Poshet Lo Yisaregel says he went. He went for a long walk. He went away. He's not here to pay anymore. They say, Gemach Tav Yivrach. He's not here anymore. He took him for a ride. That's the Lushan HaGemorah and the Mishnah Poshet Lo Yisaregel. Now, the Poskim talk about a case where a person has a couple of shtoros. There's more than one shtar to this balchov. A person owed many people money, but he owed one person, he had many shtoros to this one person. How do you now split up a chov? This person has a few shtoros, he's one bal chov, but he has a few shtoros of chovus. Suppose b'zmaneihim it was called a shtam mamri, which was basically what we know today as an open check. It was a shtar, where a person signed his name in the middle of a piece of paper, and on the back of the signature he wrote down the amount, how much he is mischayev for. This shtar was a shtar which he would give to Sochrim, go and buy on my behalf, soil. And this shtar would go, would be transferred from hand to hand, you could sell the shtar, you could give it to someone else, you could pay off the shtar, but we have an open check. It's not, there's no name of person on this. The person signed his name, but he didn't give it to a specific person. And therefore, we have these shtoros, open checks. What do we do with these checks? A person comes with checks, he has this balchov, owed him many, many checks. Do we consider him as one balchov, or do we work out his chovus if it be two people? So the pasukim say, all the gedolim, the Tzemach Tzedek, it says in the Yerid, he was in Lublin, in Yaroslav, many Kroka, many places, all the Paskin, that each star is treated as an individual Balchov. It's not as if one person has his claim of so much money. Each star is worth as if it's an Omchov. The reason being simple, I could give these shtoros to many people, it's an open check, it's not written to my name, and therefore we have to treat each check as its own Chov. But he says even more than that. Even if it would be a check with the name written onto someone specific, it would be the same person. One person would bring out a couple of checks, he would also be treated as a couple of balachoyos. Because we see this person wrote a few checks. Obviously, he's being mischayev, a shibud, for a few shtoros. One doesn't cancel out the other one. So therefore, if a person has a few shtoros, it's considered as a few balachoyos. Even though it's written to a specific person, this person is the master of the balachov, is mischayev himself with a number of shtoros. So he's giving a few shibudim, didn't write in one shtar, he wrote in a few shtoros, even though they're all dated the same day, since he specifically wrote a few shtoros, they're considered as different chovus, and he'll get more of his share, even though there's only one person. Now we have a case where someone borrowed money to buy, he bought schoyer from someone. Someone goes and buys stock from a wholesaler or from a company, and he goes bankrupt, he doesn't have enough money to pay back many balachayus. The shahara is, there's stock left over. Do we put the stock into the whole picture and split up between all the balachayus, or no? This stock came from a specific person. Does this go back to the first person, or does it get split up between all the balachayus? So the Paskim say, that this stock goes back to the person who he bought it for. Since he never paid up the story he bought, it has to go back to the first person. The shahla is how it's done, Bemis. Because if, for example, someone bought story and he got an invoice, he has to pay out by 30 days. So when 30 days come up, that's when he is liable to pay up what he bought for. From the 30 days and on, it's called Zukov Onov B'milva. Now, it's an Alvor. I owe money. I don't owe the stock. There's a time to pay up. This is the payment date. From now on, I don't give the schoyer back. From now on, I pay money. I owe money. Therefore, if there was an invoice which was dated from this time on, I'm a chuyev to pay money, then we don't treat the stock as still belonging to the person who sold it. We treat it as all as the nechusim of whatever's left over, and we have to split it up equally between all the balachoyos, because it's zokah chov of a milva. The stock taka came from one person, nevertheless, the chov he had wasn't the chov of commodity of the schoyer, the chov was zokah chov of a milva, his own money now. He had a dated invoice, now from now he's mechuyev paying money. Once the date has passed, he's mechuyev to pay money. Before the date has come, the time hasn't come to pay out for the schoyer yet. Therefore, the schoyer still technically belongs to the person who sold it to him. So that would go back to the person he wouldn't lose, I wouldn't go into the whole chov, the whole shivut. But if the date to pay is up, then the chore would be zokafon of the milveh. He only owes money, and therefore the schore would go into the whole case, and everyone would get all the balachoyvus would get the same way we split up all choyvus. He made a kinyan.
Huh?
He made a kinyan.
So it's a bit of irrelevant. Why is the invoice dated to the 30 days credit?
Because, Zokafon of a milver, if he made a kinyan, if the date to pay is in 30 days' time, he only owes from that date on to pay money. Up until then, he can still pay back his chore. Now, Ben the covenant of Ein Yitzchak, he discusses a very interesting thing. He says, if someone buys chore, and he doesn't have money to pay it back, it's a mekach tos. It's as if it's a mumun a mekach. If you buy something and you don't have money to pay for it, you give a check. There's no money in the bank. It's a mekach tos. So if it's a mekach tos, the mekach never took place. We're talking about somewhere wrong here. You bought something, you didn't have money. So now I'm saying, when you bought these goods, you never had money for it.
I hope to sell it for profit.
You hope to sell it, very nice. But the master, I sold it to you on understanding, you have money. I didn't sell it to you understanding, you don't have money, and you're going to make business on my schoire. When I sell you schoire, you make your own business. Not on my cheshbon.
Why don't you sell it to this credit?
Because you want to get some cash, you want to get some money, how to pay off?
You haven't got the money.
You're right. But if I'm on understanding, when I sell you schoire, that you have money, and I give you schoire, I find out about you, and people say, you're an honest person, you've got money, Baruch Hashem, there's no problem, don't worry about them, and I give you the schoire, and then I find out it was a mistake. You never had money, the whole thing is a mekach tos. It goes back, and therefore we don't put this whole schoire back into the whole case. This mekach never took place. This schoire still belongs to me. I sold to you, it was a mistake. And every mumba mekach, you buy something, it's a faulty item. If you could have checked it, and you didn't check it, so pisha chamaruch, you have no claim. You could have checked this before you bought it, you had this item, look at it, it's okay, it works. It doesn't go back. There's no guarantee, nothing. You bought something, if it was faulty, you could have checked it, you didn't check it, it's your loss. This, I checked. I checked you out. I made a credit check. You got money. So I thought. People thought you had money. Lamasa wasn't true. You never had any money. Therefore, if you didn't have money, it's as if I didn't find out about it. It's as if this mum was a hidden mum. I didn't know about it. So the Kovner said, it's a mekach tos. The whole thing goes back. What will happen if I pay you with someone else's check? I give a check from a poor person. You don't know. The poor person has no money. So you understand that's a mekach tos. I tricked you. I gave you an empty check. A check with nothing behind it.
No ownership was transferred. It was out tonight. He paid. So there was no ownership. It should still belong to the
Balavos. So that's what the Kovner says. It belongs to Balavos. It's a mekach tos. So it's the same way when I give you a check with someone else, and that person has no money in his bank account, everyone understands it's a mekach tos. I tricked you. I gave you money, which is not, I didn't give you money. I gave you a piece of paper, which is worthless. The same way if I myself give you a worthless piece of paper, the deal never went through. It's a mekach tos.
If at the time of the deal he had the assets and then lost them in between the 30 days...
That's the problem. But here we're talking about... When I sold you something, I was on the understanding you have the money to pay for it.
If I had it at the time, but then I lost it.
Fine, you have to prove that the mekach was a mekach.
If I had the bank took away a few days.
Fine, so we go to the Torah. Now, there's one other interesting point. The Gemara of Metzia discusses the Pola Soche. You have someone working for you, Yoy Metzit Nesfore. Now, the Gemara says an interesting halacha. If you have an Oni No Oshe, you owe two people money. Two people working for you, an Oni No Oshe, and you have only enough to pay Boy B'yoyim to one of them, the Oni comes first. The Gemara learns out of Psukim. Ki oni hu, other posuk, that the oni and the osher oni comes first. So one of the svadas shigdolim is Shuvas Pnei Moshe. He wants to apply the same aloha to a balchov who has no money left. There's so and so much left. We should give this to the oni before we give it to the osher. Ki oni hu, he needs it more than the osher, so he gets it first. Then he explains himself. He says, The Torah says, Lo Yisaheda, only doesn't have a bigger claim than an Osher. The Apostle says, you can't, let's say the Pedal, you can't give the Oni over the Yosher just because he's poor. What does the Gemara mean? The Gemara says, when you have Shasochi, you pay the Oni, not the Yosher. It doesn't mean you come to Bezin. When you come to Bezin, Bezin will have to paskin, give each half-half, or any other Chanukah. When you want to pay yourself, you haven't come to Bezin, you want to decide who gets what, you are obligated to give the Oni rather than the Yosher. So maybe the same thing would be, when you have choydus to many, many, many people, pay off the anim before you pay off the ashirim. Someone knows himself, I don't have enough money to pay all my bala choydus, so I'd rather pay off the anim before I pay off the ashirim. That's what he says he could say. Lamasa, he says, another person wants to say, we don't say that. Because when the Gemara in Bava Metzia talks about schar socher, you pay off the anim before you pay off the ashirim, it means, I don't have enough money today, so I give the anim first, tomorrow I'll give the ashirim. But if I know I'm never going to have enough money, or this Balchov is bankrupt, or he's a mess, there's so and so much money, I can't give the Oni before we give the Osher. Because the Gemara talks about a case where everyone will get paid off eventually, but it's the Oni getting it first before the Osher gets it. But if it's a case where you don't have enough money to pay everyone off, then there's no difference. Oni and Osher each get the same Chalukah, either Pishachon Oroch or the other ways, which are we discussed. Another interesting halacha is, if someone agreed to get paid so and so much, that means the Bachov is left over with a small amount, so he goes to Balachov and says, Rabbi, this is what I have, let's make a pshura, you'll all get a third, or you'll get this amount, you'll get next amount. He's making pshuras with the Balachov. It doesn't mean to say that when you made the pshura, you're moichel yachov and you're miyash from whatever's money you'll one day find. This person who owes you money for the rest of his life. As long as he's alive, he owes you money. And even though he made a pshara with you, and he made a settlement, as long as he didn't make a kinyan, he just made a settlement, we sit down, we discuss, Nebuch, that's all I have left, please take this and be happy. Fine, you can be happy. But if you find out, or one day later, he made some more money, you still have the same claim you had many years ago. Just because you made a pshara, you had no choice. You're an oinus. You knew if you're not making a pshara, you'll get nothing. So making a pshara without a kinyan, and even with a kinyan, it depends how it's done, but it doesn't mean to say you'd be moich l'chov, because the chov is still in effect until you're paid off completely. There's no such thing as, unless you say clearly, you're moich l'chov.
It's but even if the thing that the Baal Chos says, then you're bottom.
Yeah. Finish off with one more interesting halacha, very similar halacha, not with bankruptcy, but it's very similar to the shah we had. I found the tshuva shalom eishiv, an interesting shah, which could be very nageya. He said in Lemberg, where he lived, the Kimcha de Pischa Fund, every year they gave out to different aniyim, al pi bechashivas, someone who was learnt got more, someone who was a yachsan got X amount, every person was different category. One year, they didn't collect enough money, same as every year. The shah is, how do you now split up the funds we have to the aniyim? Do we do it percentage-wise? Person who got more last year gets more this year? Or no? If a person got a small amount last year, this year he'll get even less amount, he'll be left with next to nothing. That's what sort of tzedakah is that? So maybe, here we can see, we can understand that I only should get more than the Yosher percentage-wise. It's nothing to do with, there's no shibbet. Just because the stoker wants to give these aniyim, they come for the pistol. No shibbet, no one has a claim to anything. But how do we now divide the tzedakah between the various aniyim? Do we give less for everyone, which means that the bottom end will get next to nothing, or not? It is the other way around. What will happen if Baruch Hashem they made more money than every year? Do we give the person who gets more every year much more, or no? It's not fair. Give the aniyim who have little, give them at least the same amount for everyone, make it fair. So what he says, Tzorachin, but he brings a raya and a swara, he says, we can understand that when a person gives tzedakah, he understands 20% of the tzedakah will go to the choshva ashirim, 10% will go to the less choshva. So every person, the das hanoisim is the way it works every year. The das hanoisim is every year they split up equally, and the cheshbonos of chashivas, or other cheshbonis, and therefore, even though there's less money or more money, it's adas and oistim, we'd work it out the same way as you do every year.